for details, democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aramate Nirman Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkov, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen. Special thanks to Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, where the time is 6 o'clock. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined by Kyle from Seattle.
Hi there.
And Finn will be joining us in just a moment as we continue to recover from Sandy. For those of you that might have forgotten, we got hit hard last week by the superstorm, they call it now. Not Frankenstorm, and not the bizarro-type combination of a hurricane and a nor'easter. Superstorm Sandy. And it's been rough. It's been pretty rough. Speaking personally, I've been without power now for 9 days, or I'm entering the ninth day now. You kind of are okay with it for a little bit, and things start to get more and more difficult, especially when there are multiple things that you cannot do. And in my case, you pretty much can't do anything. There's no connectivity, no electric, no heat. No, you can't even use plumbing because I get water from a well. So everything is dependent on electricity. Yesterday I made it into the city because the train started running again. It was really an unbelievable experience because we had no trains. We had no connection to the outside world. Other than what you might hear over a radio. And then other things started happening, other inexplicable things, people panicking over gasoline. And then all of a sudden you had these massive lines for people waiting for gasoline, and no one saw that coming. And so you couldn't get around. If you didn't have gas in your car, there was, you know, you would have to camp out or wait hours or various things like that. It got to be really like, you know, one of those end of the world type of science fiction pieces. Out there in the civilized world, Kyle, how did it appear to you? Did it seem like everything was just falling apart?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, a lot of the news, and it's been, you haven't been getting much word. I mean, it's just, you slowly get little updates here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, you know, normal churn and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it's... It's amazing how quickly things get desperate because, you know, especially when it starts getting cold. And I was worried about that. You don't normally get hurricanes this close to November. And you certainly don't get the effects of it in November. Well, we are this time. And what that means is if the temperature takes a downward turn, as it has done, then you have a whole other range of difficulties that you have to face. The last major hurricane that I can remember that hit this area was Gloria. Again, we didn't have power for just over a week. And it was different. It was the summertime. You know, you could walk outside or leave the window open. It wasn't that big a deal. But now, you know, I took the temperature in my house earlier. It was 7 degrees Celsius. And I don't have the conversion in my head on that, but I think that's about 40 or so. And that's just too cold. Did not want to get up at all today. And every day is getting worse. Every day is getting worse. And I just fear that, you know, I'm fine. I'm complaining a lot, you know, and I'm sending out tweets to people, letting them know just where things stand. But I'm surviving. I'm getting by. I'm doing a lot of walking and spending a lot of time in coffee shops hooked up to the internet. But I'm surviving, you know, because we have so much around us that is working. That's what's what a lot of people might not realize. The island is not just all blacked out with no connection to anything. There are pockets, many pockets, in fact, of electricity. In fact, I would say the pockets are probably the people who don't have electricity. But it becomes very hard when you can't get around because of all the gas hoarding. And when you don't have access to communications because, you know, there are just so many things that I think we may have learned from this. For instance, cell phones are useless in situations like this. First thing I noticed was that there was no cell phone connectivity anywhere. Even in New York City, it stopped working. We've been railing about this for years, about how landlines are really the only dependable way of communication. My landline stayed up the whole time. It was the only thing that stayed up the whole time. No cable, no cell phone, nothing. And it's funny because I tried to reach my insurance broker, and they apparently had switched to Cablevision to use to save money or something, and use their landline as a cable line. Well, I couldn't reach them because that was out. That was out for many days. But for some reason, landlines just are always there, and that's been a lifeline. And I feel really bad for people that switched over to cell phones and were depending on those. They're not coming back now, obviously, but you know, there are a couple of issues there. Number one is that the cell phone industry has successfully lobbied against any kind of requirement that would necessitate backup generators or batteries that lasted longer than a couple of hours for a cell site. So what that means is that they save a lot of money, and when they lose power, you lose connectivity as far as connecting to your cell carrier. And the other factor is that cell towers aren't that resilient, and they blow down pretty easily. And when you have 94-mile-an-hour winds, they tend to fly into the sky, and that's the last you ever see of them. So landlines, they're much more resilient, and they stay up. And again, you know, This is what I recommend people have to at least stay connected. And Kyle, I know you have a landline, and you swear by it.
Well, I think when you have it, it's there for you, and it's really engineered to work under the harshest of conditions. And it's I don't know. You all have these choices for like utilities, and it's something that I like. I enjoy the fidelity of it. So even in a really dire situation, you can hear people and, you know, have a clear conversation. So it's not for everybody, but I guess it's a choice. In a scenario where harsh conditions are going to be taking out different utilities. And it's a really old technology, and I appreciate that. I mean, it was designed that way for a reason. So I've been just trying to be in touch with you, and that's one of the ways I've really enjoyed, having that ability to make sure, things are okay and find out really what's going on and the difficulties there.
Yeah, without that, I think I probably would have gone crazy, because not having the phone ring with somebody wanting to know how I'm doing, or just having the ability to call out myself, truly I would have felt very isolated, because my entire neck of the woods is pretty much cut off. Although I should point out that you don't know this yet, Kyle. Finn drove me over here because my vehicles are too close to empty for me to be comfortable with. But there are men from Indiana in the forest next to my house. I said it that way to Finn, and I guess you misinterpreted what I meant. But no, it's a very welcome thing. It's not creepy at all to have all these guys from Indiana in the forest, because what they're doing is they're power utility workers that have come all the way out from Indiana to help out. I think they're volunteers. I don't think they even get paid for this. And it's possible. It is possible. I mean, they were actually looking at things, and they were aware that there was a house there. There was no power. And, I asked them where they were from, and they said Indiana. I just thanked them so much for everything that they're doing. And, that's another thing. I know people are impatient, really impatient, and suffering because the power people have not gotten to yet. I don't think for a second that they're not doing the job. I think it's just a very frustrating thing when there are so many people out of power. So I have nothing but gratitude for the people that are spending days and nights out there. And, they don't have any place to stay. They're sleeping in their trucks. And lots of times they've driven cross country to get here in the first place. So as far as I'm concerned, those are true heroes. Those are the people that make it all worthwhile. And where would we be without people who did this kind of thing? Even if it's another week before I get power back, I'm still in gratitude to the people that really stick their necks out. And, we've seen a lot of examples of that. You've probably read, Kyle, about instances of looting and hoarding and crime and things like that. And yeah, they're out there. There are instances like that, and I'm sure we can all point to something.
Right.
But it's so far overshadowed by the acts of kindness and generosity and people looking out for each other. Not to say we can't do better, and there's a lot that I can point to that we can certainly improve upon. But I think in general, people are overwhelmingly good, and there's no reason to. You can really scare yourself. You can scare yourself, especially alone at night when it's dark. You wonder if there are goblins around, all kinds of horrible things about to happen. But in actuality, we seem to be taking care of each other, and that's what more can you ask for? Finn. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Encouraging. It's really great to hear. It's encouraging.
Yes. So Finn is here now.
You're feeling that from people.
Hi, Kyle. Hi, Emmanuel.
Hello, Finn. How are you? You sound rather grim tonight, don't you?
I don't know. This whole experience, and I'm sure I'm speaking for everyone listening as well, is a somewhat exhausting experience.
You think? Oh, yeah, it's a little exhausting, a little tiring. I haven't slept more than 4 hours a night since this whole thing began.
And that stress from everything, I think, for
everybody.
Don't
mean to jump on you, but for God's sake.
You're right.
Man. Yeah.
And it's stress from everybody who doesn't have power still, like yourself. And when you do say you're in a neck of the woods, you certainly are.
Mm-hmm.
But from people who don't have power still to people who are just waiting on fuel lines for hours on end or camping out overnight. It's just the frustration, the stress from all that is taking its toll on people, I think, at this particular point. That being said, I have to tell you that I work on Long Island, but I live in Astoria, Queens, and the actual individual workers who are out there taking care of power, telephone lines, all these kinds of things, the cable vision workers as well, they're all out there working really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Any shortcomings that people may see, believe me, it's not due to the individual workers. It may be due to some planning issues which can be fixed in the future, which come from the management end of all of that. However, the individual workers I have seen, and in my job I've seen a lot of them, they're working out there around the clock doing their thing.
Now, it's especially bizarre and weird because today is election day, And, you know, it's a presidential election. This is the big one. This is a really important one. And I have to say, so many people around here couldn't care less because of all the crap they've been through. And I think I'm one of them. It's sort of an afterthought. It's like, oh, yeah, that. But, you know, the important things suddenly have become, you know, getting enough food and having warmth and way of getting to where you need to go. And just the basics like that. It's incredible how quickly we can be brought face to face with those realities. And the other weird thing is that tomorrow we have another storm that's going to hit us. We have a what's known as a nor'easter, which can pack winds of up to 60 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour. And that's not very good considering all the trees that have been weakened already and all the other things that have been taking place that have basically shocked the infrastructure. I mean, it's epic what has happened. We have tunnels into Manhattan that were completely flooded, like all, up to the top of the mm-hmm. ceiling, Midtown Tunnel, Battery Tunnel. We have the whole subway system that was shut down. We have the commuter rail system that was shut down. Just unbelievable amount of things. Things that we thought in worst case scenarios might happen. Well, it all happened at once. And of course, nothing can compare to the devastation of the homes that were lost. And there were just so many of those. We mentioned this last week, 100 homes was it Breezy Point?
Breezy Point, right.
By the Rockaways. And mm-hmm. Utter tragedy there. So many other homes being lost. Both because of storm-related damage and also post-storm-related generators that have set homes on fires and set homes on fire and other things too, fireplaces, various other things, and just the difficulty of reaching people in situations like this. So suffering continues.
We were down in my wife and I actually were down in Far Rockaway over the weekend on Sunday, and we were doing some work. My wife's a librarian in Queens, and. We were doing some, librarians all got together to do some volunteer work down in Far Rockaway. And they were down there signing people up with FEMA and helping them out with applications and giving them some Wi-Fi and phone charging facilities, mm-hmm. all those kinds of things. And it's fascinating down there, and it's a nightmare. You know, everyone's possessions are out at curbside.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's not the only area. That's the area we hear the most about. But, I mean, we have from there to, you know, we can go down to Idle Hour in Oakdale, a place people don't often think a lot about because a lot of people down in Idle Hour have money, so to speak, you know, mm-hmm. as many people on the water do. But their homes are gone, washed
yeah.
away.
Yeah, even the East Village where
right.
you imagine things are always happening. I was there yesterday, and like you said, things piled onto the street. Water still being pumped out of basements, businesses
yep.
shuttered, not knowing if they're ever going to open again. But again, people really coming together, you know, resilience, that sort of thing. But also shock that all of this happened, that it was so monumental and completely devastating.
It's amazing how comparatively little, even though this is a very strong storm, throws us into complete disarray for a great amount of time.
It was Category 1.
Right.
I mean, that's the least powerful of the
right.
five.
That's what I mean.
So, yeah. Now that so much has been destroyed, how vulnerable are we to the next time it happens? Even to this storm coming tomorrow, how vulnerable are we? Those are the questions people are asking themselves right now.
Right.
So, yeah, and, you know, there are so many ways. What you were talking about the Wi-Fi, that's something kind of brings it home because I gotta call entities out, institutions, people, whatever, who have not come through the way I expect them to come through. And in other ways, I've been surprised. Like, for instance, Governor Christie from New Jersey, I think, has done an amazing job, and I didn't like him before. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where he comes from ideologically, politically. He's what the people need right now.
Right.
Somebody who will be there for them, listening to them, and, you know, just sort of a presence. And Giuliani was kind of like that after 9/11 and for a very short period of time.
Correct.
But Christie, I think, has been really – and I think Obama gets that too. And I think Christie gets Obama at this point, which annoyed the hell out of Romney.
That's
because
right.
he didn't want to see Christie palling around with Obama saying he was doing a great job. But in situations like this, you need leadership. And I'm happy with – our governor seems to be doing a good job. Cuomo seems to be doing all right. But I'm sure there are things we can point to that aren't being done properly, and hopefully they're being focused on and addressed. But when you mention the Wi-Fi and how people need Wi-Fi. This was something that we wanted to focus upon. In fact, Carl, I know you were a big part of this. I wanted to focus upon this last week on our other show, Off the Hook. And what has happened there is really shameful as far as WBAI, because we were locked out. I made it all the way into the city last Wednesday. In fact, I used all my gas to get there. And then I had to deal with those quote-unquote free buses, which actually were simply mobbed buses where you could not move at all or breathe inside. I eventually wound up abandoning that and walking all the way uptown to where our temporary studios were being housed up on Broadway. And I made it there in time for the show and also in time to meet people leaving saying, oh, no, you're not allowed in there after 6 o'clock, because the person who owns the studio decreed that after 6 o'clock, all the programming has to be recorded from 6 p.m. until 9 a.m. in the middle of one of the biggest crises our city has ever seen. We weren't allowed to broadcast. And we had so much information. We wanted to speak to the people who are in the darkness in the city and throughout the entire listening area. So many people scared, cold, hungry. And instead, what you got was some pre-recorded crap from something. I mean, you know, it was probably a good program, but it had nothing to do with what was going on with people who were suffering. And that's what radio should be about. USB did a great job as far as reaching out to people and talking on the air and getting information out there. That's what radio is about when a situation like that happens. And BAI completely dropped the ball. And in fact, I think they're going to drop the ball again this week, because our studios on Wall Street are still flooded, but we're still not allowed to broadcast after 6 o'clock at night. It's the most incredible thing. And I'm just so frustrated and infuriated by it, because there's so much information we have to share with our listeners that is not being shared. Things like the Wi-Fi information, or how people can connect, or just ways that technology worked, ways that technology didn't work. We need a couple of hours to just do this, to go through it all, and to hear from people, too, because you need that voice. You need to be able to speak to someone and know that you're being listened to. And I'm lucky. I've got that landline. I've got people like Kyle to talk to. but many people don't. Many people don't have, they feel isolated. And I think when we have not yet seen the toll that this thing is going to take on all of us.
Mm. You're right.
Yes, Kyle.
So we wanted to also reach out, because there were a couple different people that were wanting to do some fundraising and try to like get some equipment together and create things like impromptu hotspots and stuff like that. There are people that were willing to get involved and answer like FEMA's call for resources as far as like making some of their like data input things work. Like they had all these tablets that they're processing people with, and they were looking for resources. So we wanted to really speak to our audience as well to join that effort and get some people that maybe have a little bit of technological knowledge to be able to get involved and show that they can respond and help out in a situation like this with sort of technical contributions and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and there are certainly a lot of people who listen to that program that are tied in, both locally and throughout the world, I think can definitely help. But if you're listening now and you can do that, please write to us, otw@2600.com, and we'll definitely use your talents and abilities and whatnot to make the situation somewhat better. But, you know, it's a week later. It's a week later, and a whole lot of opportunity has been lost as far as getting the word out and helping people who are in dire straits. And I just hope that we can try and make up for lost time as far as that particular venue goes. On other entities, I got to call out Newsday, News 12, Cablevision, erecting paywalls to people so they cannot read news stories while they're sitting in cafes because their homes are wrecked. You know, that's kind of lousy of you to do that, because here's how it works. If you're a Cablevision subscriber, you have access as much as you want to Newsday.com and News12.com and all that. I think everybody should have access to it, but whatever. If you're a Cablevision subscriber, you get free access, or you pay for it through your bill. But if you're out on the road using Wi-Fi and your home is dark and you have no connectivity, it demands all your subscriber information. Yeah, I walk around with all that information on me at all times. How in God's name am I supposed to prove what my Cablevision ID or whatever is when I'm trying to find out if there's going to be a train tomorrow, or if there's power crews in the area, or, you know, what places are open for food, things like that. Important information that they have, but they're holding back on it because they want to make sure that you're paying for it.
Well, naturally, that is all one company.
I know.
Just to, for those listeners who don't know.
So, I feel bad for the people that might not have had alternatives that were stuck there and couldn't get information. When situations like this happen, you got to, you know, stop thinking about how much money you're going to make and start thinking about helping your fellow people. And sometimes that means tremendous inconvenience for you as well, but that's what it's all about. I mean, I took a taxi last night after coming home from the city. You know, I'd walked to the train station initially, and I was going to walk back, but I figured, let's find out how much the taxi actually costs. How much are they jacking up the price? And I asked, you know, as I got off the train, I asked how much, you know, to this particular location, and the price was the same. They hadn't, I'll even say it, Lindy's Taxi, the one you see all over the place, they had not changed the price at all. And I was, you know, despite the fact that the guy that drove me had waited 7 hours in the gas line to get gas just so he could work. 7 hours so he could work. So, yeah, a situation like that, you pay double. You do pay double. You have to. You have to show appreciation for that. And that's the kind of thing that I think is the rule more than the exception, that kind of behavior. So, yeah, that's something really good. What else? I'm not sure we're doing enough here at the university. I'm not sure. Maybe somebody can prove me wrong. But I'm looking at their website right now at stonybrook.edu. Now, we did not lose power here at Stony Brook. Reason being, we have underground cables, and we don't have our wires on telephone poles. We have, I think, our own electricity generating plant, right?
Right.
That's what that is?
That's right.
So we're able to weather these storms. But here we are right in the middle of the community with our shining lights. Now, here's what it says on the main page. In the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy, university organizers to provide relief to local community. And I clicked on that. Nothing happened. Hang on. Let me go back to that. They have a really annoying page. Okay. Yeah. And here's a message from the president. I'm going to read part of this to students, faculty, and staff. As we continue to recover from the widespread effects of what is now being called Superstorm Sandy, we want to keep you updated on campus operations. First and foremost, Stony Brook University successfully managed through this incredibly destructive storm and its aftermath. We as a community were very fortunate that we experienced just a brief power interruption, less than 1 hour, during the overnight hours. The continuous power supply can be attributed to the cogeneration power plant here on campus, which is our primary power source. LIPA provides a backup resource in the event that our plant goes offline. Fortunately, this resource was not required. Now, on main campus, more than 7,000 students remain in residence. Students and residents on the Southampton campus were evacuated and housed on the main campus in Stony Brook. Power was restored to Southampton whatever day this was written. We helped to move students back there, et cetera, et cetera. We at Stony Brook University continue to administer our own cleanup efforts, which have been ongoing throughout the storm and thereafter. The transformation over the past week is palpable. I urge those who are here to exercise caution while walking or driving on campus, maybe several days before all debris and flooded areas are completely clear. I think those days have passed. Some physical damage occurred, some instances quite severe. Campus building roofs and exteriors were damaged. Number of trees fallen caused significant damage to exterior lighting, etc. Our facilities and services staff has been all hands on deck in the cleanup aftermath, and they are to be congratulated for their dedication and service for making the students on campus and our essential employees experience a relatively seamless transition. As the main campus repopulates, we anticipate further reports of damage and infrastructure issues. Also to be commended are the staff who attended to more than 7,000 residential students who remained on campus during the storm. And again, I agreed with everything here. I'm not seeing anything about serving the community, though. I'm seeing all the stuff about how we basically survived here. But we've got all these facilities. We've got showers. We've got electricity. We've got food. We've got all kinds of things. We need to open up those doors. We need to, I mean, if the doors have been open, then great. But I have not seen. I've looked online. I've asked around. I have not seen any indication that we've opened up our doors to the community so people can get relief here We have so much to offer. And the thing that that kind of annoyed me more than anything else was the announcement that all organized sports would proceed as scheduled.
Well, we have to have our priorities.
It reminded me of that Jello Biafra talk, which you can see. If you go to the very first Hope Conference, the very first talk, we played a recording of it. It's called Martial Law, where everything is being restricted and you'll be shot if you do this or that. But all organized sports would proceed as scheduled. Now, you know, everybody complained about the marathon. Everybody complained. And eventually, Bloomberg relented and canceled the marathon. Why? Because we weren't ready for this. We weren't ready. We did not have the resources. Too many people were suffering. So why in God's name was it okay to have the Giants game on Sunday when everybody was lined up waiting for gas? You encouraged all these people to waste gas to go there and to take away from the rescue and recovery operations. Same thing here at Stony Brook. We should not have had that. I'm sorry that we were just not ready yet. We can reschedule things like that.
I agree.
So, you know, a lot of potential here, a lot of potential that we still can use. I'm not seeing it being implemented nearly as well as it could be. You know, I'm looking at in the aftermath here, some of the things that we're offering and showers. Yeah. Bring towels and toiletries. OK. Bring your ID card. So that tells me that it's not open. It's not open to people that are not already part of the university. And that's shameful.
Right. Really they want the student ID card is what they mean there, right?
I imagine not just any ID card.
Right.
I don't know. You know, maybe you're right.
I don't know.
If I'm wrong, I'll be the first to say that I'm wrong here. I hope it's not like that. But, you know, indications are I was on the train yesterday and they were hassling people about fares. And I'm sorry, but people are, you don't know where people's heads are at. And we shouldn't be talking about an extra dollar or two. They had free subways and free buses for a few days. I think it should have been for a few days longer while people get their acts together. I was downtown and the L train was out of commission. So that meant that there was no way to get to where I was going unless I got on a bus and used a transfer, which, you know, I was going to use that transfer later on. So I asked, oh, can I get a bus transfer? No, we're not giving out bus transfers. Well, how am I supposed to do this? Use your MetroCard. I had to pay twice.
Right.
That's not fair.
Right.
I mean, I could pay twice. That's not a big deal for me. But it's not right. You should be more compassionate to people.
Yeah, and in fact, many people could not afford that. And many people were drastically displaced. And in those particular situations,
it's little things. Little things that you don't think matter that do.
Right.
And just that compassion, handing somebody a bagel, you know, could completely change their demeanor for the entire day. I know I felt that way, just random acts of kindness.
Yep.
All right. Anything else that we want to focus on as far as hurricane related? There are so many things we could talk about. I want to open up the phones for people that are experiencing things, obviously. But today is also Election Day. And Carl, I know that there are things going on out there in Washington that we don't know about here. Anything that you'd like to outline for us?
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff that Washington is going to be voting on in particular that is not related to a specific candidate, but rather like social initiatives.
You have referendums of various sorts, right?
I'm sorry?
You have referendums of various sorts, right?
Yeah, I think we have some referendums and stuff like that, but there's a couple initiatives or propositions, 74.
Okay.
And I think that one is the right of same-sex couples to marry in Washington.
Uh-huh.
I'm embarrassed that I don't know.
Well, you don't need to know the numbers. The numbers don't really matter, especially not to us in New York. But but what it is that they're actually – well, your governor, like our governor did, signed a bill saying that same-sex marriage is perfectly fine and okay. And for some reason, it didn't turn into a referendum here. I'm glad it didn't because, you know, you can't have a referendum about every single basic human right. It's just the law here now. Deal with it. Okay, it's done.
Actually, it's referendum 74.
Uh-huh.
To approve or reject a February bill that would legalize same-sex marriage in Washington. So that's going to be really interesting to see what direction that goes. In this general election, and then there's an initiative on the ballot to legalize marijuana. And people are watching that very closely because it's going to be among the first legislation in the nation to legalize and tax that substance.
I believe there's also something in Colorado. Is that correct?
Yeah, Colorado is doing something very similar. So those two states have sort of very mature medicinal marijuana communities, and they're basically taking it to the next step to allow the state to tax it. But there's some controversial stuff with that one. People are concerned about driving under the influence and how you actually rate whether someone is competent enough to drive if they're under the influence of cannabis. So, but it's nonetheless a really big step forward, and I think that's the most interesting part about these things is that, like what you were saying in New York with gay marriage, it's very likely that precedents will be set by these in this election, and that some exciting changes to at least state law and sort of the attitudes towards those things could take place. So.
Now, you voted early, right, Kyle?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, and
the Marijuana Initiative is Initiative 502.
502, okay. Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah, I voted early. I vote.
Couldn't have been 420 rather. That would have been. Wouldn't that have been great? I mean, come on. What's wrong with a sense of humor in referendums?
It's in the ballpark.
It's close. Yeah, that's true. It is close. you know. Okay, maybe the pot smoking community should change the time then to match that. How about that? If it wins.
Well, I mean, I think a pot smoking community would argue that that time is all the time, but
I can always win an argument with the pot smoking community, but never mind that. I'm kidding. So okay, we have that now. You voted early, Kyle, so that meant go ahead.
Well, I mean, the other thing about this is like we have the Industrial Hemp Act, and I've talked about this on the radio before.
Yes.
and it's crucial, like the attitudes and the amount we pay in importing for hemp fibers and byproducts from hemp seed are ridiculous. So, I mean, there's other reasons why people should really take another look at this type of thing. It's a type of substance. So, I mean, there's some exciting shifts in attitude with that whole thing just from a broad macro perspective.
I am getting that. I'm getting that there's definitely a shift in what people are thinking. And I think we're growing up. I think we're learning a lot and moving in a direction which is positive. It certainly is. And yeah, I've seen us moving in the other direction too often. So it's good to see us kind of being a bit more progressive.
Yeah, and I mean, there's enough black markets and stuff out there. I think that, you know, people realize that it's a part of culture and that sort of thing, and as well as healing.
So now let me ask you, how did you actually vote? That what did they give you to fill out?
Oh, right. So it's a folded piece of cardstock, basically.
Okay.
And you get your newspaper sort of like pamphlet a couple of weeks beforehand.
Okay.
And they announce when they send the ballots out, and you get them, you know, very shortly after that, and they, you know, tell you not to stay silent if you don't get one, you know, speak up. To make sure you get your ballots, and then you you have to pay for a stamp, and basically you vote. And I heard a little argument on the radio this morning about how that style of voting allows you to pour through the candidates and be more particular during your voting. It's not like you're in a booth, sort of, you know, waiting on parking or something like that.
Or having somebody standing behind you impatiently.
Right. You
That's
can.
What we get.
And I did honestly. I did. I did sort of stretch my voting out over a couple evenings, filled in a couple I was certain about, and waited a little bit so I could read about what the ones that I was confused about. There's another really interesting one going on regarding the seawall in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
And that one I wanted to read a little bit more about, because I'm all for like projects like that, but There was a couple interesting articles about people that are live aboards and they have houseboats along the waterways, and how if they rebuild the seawall, they're going to have to move, quote, temporarily, and then basically you get shoved out of where you live. And there's a lot of live aboards in Ballard and in Lake Union, and people joke about Sleepless in Seattle, but that's a real community, and so I'm familiar, and that one I had to think about a little bit.
We're talking about seawalls here because we don't really have them, and we certainly could use them. And we have houseboats, but a lot of them are several miles on shore now.
Right.
So it's definitely an issue and something that we're going to have to deal with in the future, I think.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a big project regarding, especially since they're tunneling the new viaduct, which is a large artery along the Seattle waterfront, allows cars to go north-south through town.
Uh-huh.
So I took some time on those, but over the course of like 2 or 3 days, I filled out my little bubbles, folded it up, and got my stamps together, and I mailed it nice and quiet on the weekend. In the dark of night, I rode my tall bike to a mailbox.
Well, that's the way you should vote, I think. Now, how about for you, Finn? How did you vote?
Well, you know, here in New York, we have, I voted, you know, this morning. And by the way, I do urge everyone out there, if they have not voted, please go out and vote if that is your penchant.
Yes.
Get out there and do so. Do not wait and say, oh, I should have voted and feel bad about it.
Even
if you
have
vote,
no power and, you know, no, figure it out. I mean, I don't want to sound callous, but I'm just saying, you'll feel better having done it than realizing that you didn't.
Right. I voted this morning at our new polling place in Queens, which is... it's just new this year, having nothing to do with the weather. It's a new location. And the location happens to be named after a prominent Queens politician, which is, well, I can say it, the Peter J. Vallone Nursing Home.
You voted in a nursing home.
That's right.
What the hell? I mean,
well,
when...
the line was slow moving as well, I might add. But
that was uncalled for.
Hey, you know. It was a very tight space with a lot of people. I was very happy to see such a large turnout so early in the morning. As you said, Emmanuel, one of those things here when you're voting live in New York is that there are people over your shoulder.
It's ridiculous.
Now, personally, I don't mind that because I'll shout my vote to anyone who wants to hear it. However, I know there are people who don't want that to happen, and there is no sense of... privacy in these situations. We were talking today because, you know, as we discussed on the air, I did take you here today and we stopped by for you to vote. And, you know, it's one of those things where people are right over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. They're pushing you along. And we were talking about the beauty of the old voting system, of the old voting booths, where you truly were in a private environment. I understand the paper trail issue and all those issues. However, you were in there. You could think. Nobody was breathing down your neck. You could have had people who were impatient outside the curtain, but you didn't see them.
Yeah, you were in your own little world there. And, you know, it didn't take very long for you to flick that lever down. It takes forever to fill out that stupid bubble and get it right.
Right.
So right away, you have a much longer experience and lines develop. It's just...
doesn't seem the most efficient way to do
it's
things.
It's not. I mean, yeah, the paper trail is very important. You can certainly have a paper trail and a mechanical machine together, and there's no reason in the world to get rid of the curtain, but they did all of that. They have this inept system. I heard the guy that was in charge of part of it saying, make sure you scan your vote, your Scantron, whatever they call it, in the right machine, because if you do it in the wrong machine, it won't count and you won't even know it. And I'm like, really? It won't count and you won't even know it? That does not sound like the foundation of democracy to me.
Right.
And there are all these basic theories about how things don't work anymore and how people don't feel like they're really voting. This is not the right step. It's always, you know, moving forward in technology is not always the best way to move forward. I'm not against advancements, but I'm against stupid advancements. And this is definitely not a good one. And I really, really wish they had rethought this or consulted with people that knew what they were talking about. Right now, it's inefficient. It's confusing to people that aren't technologically inclined in the first place. And there's no privacy.
Right. And that's the thing. You feel it's to go back to a similar system to the old one, which in New York State was the booths with the levers. And, you know, you pull the lever and you're out, that kind of deal. And your mm-hmm. vote gets cast. Has been, you protected yourself from that feeling of being rushed, that feeling of your vote being extremely public when individuals may not want it to be. and just a lot of ridiculous pressures that shouldn't be interfering with your vote.
Right. Well, Kyle, I know you had other things you were planning. Do you want to stick around for some phone calls, or do you have things to do?
Is it half past the hour?
It's actually 44 minutes past the hour.
Oh, I'll hang out for phone calls.
Okay. Well, then, in that case, our phone number is 631-632-6901. And anywhere in the world, you can call us. But, you know, we'd like to hear from people who are affected by Sandy, by the superstorm, or any local thoughts on the election or things like that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move us into delay so that we can do this legally and safely. And again, give out the phone number, 631-632-6901.
You're listening to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
And just like that, we have appeared back live. I'm sorry about the pause, but that was a very short ID. Kyle, did you make it into delay land?
Yeah, I'm in delay.
Finn, how about Finn? What happened to you? Oh my goodness!
Well, I have to tell you, I was
half of you was in delay, and half of you is
I was.
Six
I thought ago. I thought the hurricane was wearing me out, but I'm.
Oh
I'm
my
shot
God! Now. Should we try this again? Oh, Kyle, if you could only see what happened. Well, okay, you know, the phones have not started ringing yet, and I know people are out there who are struggling and listening to the radio. The radio is a real lifeline in situations like this where you find out what's going on, or you just get away from it all and you have a voice, a friendly voice. Well, we're here for those people that still are in the dark. I know there are very many of you, people might have lights back or have something to share with us. You're welcome to call as well. 631-632-6901 is our telephone number. So, you know, I'm sort of wondering if I'll get power back anytime soon. I think those guys from Indiana were on the job. Hopefully they'll figure it out. And I'm kind of out of it, to be honest, because it changes your whole day. You wake up with the sun. You don't really stay up at night. You don't get much work done. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, it certainly is. But you did say people were from guys from Indiana walking around. When you first said that, I thought it was, you know, I was just happy you didn't describe them as, you know, dragging plastic garbage bags through the woods or something.
Well, you know, I wouldn't have minded. It was nice just seeing people that were intent on doing something. but it's interesting you should mention the plastic bag, because I was walking around yesterday when I was walking to the train. I saw a full transformer in a plastic bag set out by the garbage can. So a transformer had fallen down or exploded or something, and now it was being thrown out.
And they bagged it.
They bagged it.
Very good.
I guess so that the children don't play with it or something like that. So, yeah, you see, I saw a spaghetti wire in the street of one of the phone cables that had broken, which already had been replaced. All kinds of signs of destruction and chaos. So, another thing, we're not getting phone calls. Why are we getting phone calls?
631-632-6901. Give us a call. Let us know. We can talk about the election. We'll talk about the hurricane. Whatever you want to talk about, you can vent a little bit. 631-632-6901.
It's a national crisis either way, whether you talk about the election or the hurricane.
Yeah, Sandy is the great voter suppressor, apparently.
Around here at least. When I said before that people don't really care about the election, I am kind of speaking for myself, because it's so much in the back of my mind right now, because the basics are just something that you need to focus on. But it is important. It is really important. And I hope it goes well. We seem to have a phone call. So what I'm going to do is grab that, conference Kyle in, and we'll have some conversations. Hold on one moment. And good evening. You are on Off the Wall. Are you there?
Yeah, it's wonderful to be with you. This is Billionaire Brian from Food Not Pumps.
Okay, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Huntington. We're on our way to distribute food, as we do every Tuesday night in Huntington. Food Not Bombs is working with other groups to distribute needed supplies to people, victims from Hurricane Sandy. Clothing, food, other things. Please go to www.lifnb.com for information. Stands for Long Island Food Not Bombs. Many groups are working. People can donate at Ace Hardware stores, and different things. But everybody can do something. I know it's tough with the gas. You know, we're all trying to you know, run around, you know, do what we can with patients. So work with your neighbors. Work together. It's a horrible, terrible situation, but we can do things, so let's all get active.
And how can people who might be in need of this benefit, how do they get a hold of what you're offering?
I know that the distribution points, I believe Nassau Community College is a big distribution point, and their distribution points, you know, around Long Island, it's basically things are still in formation now. The devastation is really slowly being revealed. Ordinary problems that people have at this time of year, you know, with the cold and everything and the power outages. I'm just one little blip in the grand scheme of things, but all I do is try to distribute food where I can, transport it, you know, give it to people. So the more of us, the better. You know, Farmingville on Thursday night will be another food share, Sunday in Hempstead. And like I said, I would go to lifnb.com. That's a website that will put you in touch with more information than I can give in a short time.
Okay. Hopefully people can connect to that.
Thank you, WUSB, for always doing this. Really appreciate you getting the word out. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Brian, for what you do. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
And, that is important to have that voice there. And we have to remember that we serve such a large community of people, such a diverse group, and we're happy to be there, even in such tragic situations such as this. Let's take another phone call. And good evening. You are on Off the Wall.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, where are you calling from?
Messick Beach.
Oh, boy, you guys really got hammered.
We did. I lucked out. I was far enough away from Ford's River to be okay, but I know the people over by the river got really hammered.
Uh-huh. It's interesting, you know, when I read about Messick Beach, it seems that the only thing that the papers are reporting are the issues of looting. Now, is that something that is a very real thing, or is it being exaggerated? Tell us what you know.
My opinion, yeah. There are people that look for situations like this. It seems to give them a chance to get one over on some other people, they feel. I personally don't think there's a bigger problem here than in a lot of other places. I mean, you know, you hear of shootings at gas stations and fights happening online, so it's happening everywhere. But I have heard of it here, haven't seen it myself, but...
Yeah. That's kind of what I expected. I mean, yeah, there are bad people in any group, but if you make them define the group, then you really lose the battle. I think probably most people on Mastic Beach are taking care of each other just like they are everywhere else.
From what I know, I mean, there are people opening up their doors to let people have showers and do their laundry and stuff. I mean, you know, you could do small stuff to help people out, and I've seen a lot of that, which is actually nice to see.
Wow. So do you have power back yet?
I actually got power back pretty quickly. I lost my power on Monday during the storm.
Okay.
And got it back sometime Tuesday, then it went out again and came back on Wednesday, and I've been good since then.
See, I'm worried I'm going to get power back, and then this other storm is going to come in, I'm going to lose it, and I'll be at the end of the line again.
I know. I can't believe that's happening. Like, I know my neighbor had part of his roof, the shingles blew off, and now he's about to get hammered with another storm. I feel bad. He's going to have to get up there and try to take care of that.
Yeah. It's rough on a lot of people. But, you know, sticking together, that's what it's all about. Anything you want to say to your fellow Long Islanders?
Well, I just wanted to say I was just voting. And despite Sandy, the turnout seems pretty good. It's hard to say because we have a location closed. So maybe it's just busier because there's more voters coming into the location that I'm used to going to. But it seems filled with a lot of excited people. So that was nice to see, too. I mean, storms can slow us down, but they shouldn't stop us.
Right on. All right. Listen, thanks. And best of luck to you out there in Mastic Beach and everybody who was on the surf side of it all.
Yeah, and thanks for doing this because, you know, it gives people a way to get in touch with each other, and we'll let people know that there's places to help them out.
Absolutely. We're here all the time. Thanks.
Thank you.
Wow. It's affecting people everywhere, and it's vital that we be there. It's vital that that other places be there as well.
Yeah, actually, surprisingly enough, I've heard there are places near where I work in Melville. People I work with still don't have power back in, like, Deer Park and stuff like that, and I thought I'd be worse off being close to the shore, but they're really paying the price.
Yeah. Yeah, and, of course, all the people in New Jersey as well, and Staten Island and Lower Manhattan. So many places that have been affected really, really badly that will need our help not only now but in the coming months. So again, best of luck to you, and
yep.
We'll be in touch. 631-632-6901 is our telephone number. Kyle, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You know, I just want to talk for a moment about this whole gas thing. Actually, you know what? I think we're kind of out of time, so let me go out of delay first. Yeah, sounds much better when I'm not in delay. This whole gas thing. Now, Finn, you seem to have it figured out. All right, so everybody listen, because Finn figured it out, and he's going to tell you how to get gas and not ruin your life. And I'm going to listen, too, because, you know, right now I've got three vehicles, one of which is a smart car, and it's hopeless, so never mind that one. But the other two are low on gas and would like to fill up again, or at least get something in their tank so they can move around. And so I have to walk everywhere. So what is the secret? Do you have to camp out overnight? Do you have to pay people off? Do you have to? Well, you know, so the guy mentioned a shooting at a gas station. I have not heard of any shootings at gas stations. I hear these rumors. I don't think it actually happened. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, this is why you need guns, because all the looters coming to your home. Looters aren't coming to your home. You know, people are taking care of each other. Let's not panic. Let's not freak out and hoard gas and buy guns and things like that. Let's take care of each other. I'm sorry, Finn. Go ahead.
Well, you've given away my secret. You just have to go to the gas station well armed, and that's the story.
Is that the secret? No, yeah.
The secret is, well, first of all, as I said, I live in Astoria. Most gas stations that are open 24 hours. I come out to work extremely early in the morning to begin with. I'm in there getting gas, let's say, at 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe 15 cars in front of me, so it's not as bad.
So you're saying I have to drive to Astoria at 4 in the morning?
That's right.
I have no
but
gas,
But I did
though.
Luck out today. I did go to a gas station on Montauk Highway in the Sayville area, and just lucked out. It took me about maybe 25 minutes online, and it just was the magic of the moment, I guess.
Yeah, okay, when is it going to get to the point where we don't have to wait at all online like we used to? Because,
right.
You know, everyone is saying things are going to get normal, and it's just because the stations don't have power and all that nonsense. Well, the stations have power now, but they're closed, and they don't seem to be getting deliveries. Why aren't they getting deliveries? They should be getting more deliveries because they were closed, so they're due more deliveries. So how long is this going to go on for? It's been a week now. And it starts feeling like we're not being told the entire story.
Yes, and that's what I think is happening out there. We're really not hearing the entire story. Something, because we're told, you know, New York Harbor is full of these tankers and they're pumping them out and all this stuff. Yet, Long Islanders, of course, on Long Island, we rely a lot on cars. Because there's no other way to get anywhere.
Yeah, there's no damn mass transit. All these people that say, yeah, we'll take mass transit instead. Give us mass transit, we'll take it.
Right, exactly.
No
and
question.
It's a very, very frustrating situation for many. And I don't know. I guess we'll find out exactly what happened with all this logistics after the fact, after everything is better. But right now, it's a bit of a disaster. And there are some stations out there that are actually price gouging pretty heavily.
Really? Because I've heard reports of that, but I have not seen.
Well, I've seen
many
a couple
examples.
Of them. Uh-huh. And
what would you consider price gouging?
$4.75.
Okay.
For regular.
I think anything under $5 is fair game. At this point.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, there also was the story where the guy was trying to sell 2 gallons of gas for $50 a gallon, with it, because he had gas in a couple of tanks.
Well, actually, there was, if you go to Craigslist, there are people selling
right.
gallons of gas. They'll bring it to your home. And you know, right. for $50, $50 a gallon, $20 a gallon, whatever. You know, Kyle, we were trying to figure out how you could mail me a gallon of gasoline. Did we make any progress on that?
I was just waiting on a call back
okay.
from...
You know, FedEx has been very dodgy on that. I don't understand. We're trying to give them business. And how do we do it? How do we ship that? And, FedEx Ground is fine. I'll use that. I have to wait a few days. But isn't that what shipping is all about? I mean, the tanker trucks ship fuel, so why can't the other kind of trucks? I don't know. But apparently you can't mail it in a mailbox.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot about how this whole economy works. All right, folks, we're out of time. Any final words from Seattle?
Oh, well, everybody take care and check out the election results and stuff tonight and stay vigilant.
Yeah.
And, make your needs known and voice it, because there's a million ways to do it. And people are out there listening and they're concerned. And I think the whole nation's kind of gripped right now.
4 years ago, I remember that election night when Obama was elected, going into the city to take part in the celebrations because I anticipated it might be happening. It was an unbelievable experience. People dancing in the streets, jumping on top of buses. It was just so incredible. And I can't think of anything more opposite than this election. And it's not necessarily because of the Obama administration, although many of us have been very disappointed in the progress. Still, you know, it seems like a step in many ways. But just all of this, it's just too much. But I still will be keeping an eye. I'm not sure where I'm going to be keeping an eye from since I don't have any power. But it's going to be a very weird election night for me. I'm glad I voted. It's going to be very, very strange, one I'll certainly remember for a very long time. Finn, any final words from you?
Just make sure you guys get out there and vote. I know it's a hard time out there. You know, do your best to get out. Make sure you vote. You know, if you don't want to vote, obviously that's your prerogative. However, if you want to vote and you think it's important at all, make sure you get out and do it no matter what your situation is.
All right. And I'm sorry, folks, for playing the same outro twice in a row, but I haven't had any power, so I haven't been able to burn a CD. So you're just going to have to deal with it. And, well, Finn's coming up in a moment. We'll see you next week, hopefully. OTW@2600.com. Good night, everybody. Tramp the streets or get busted for sleeping on the beach all night. Them boys in their high heels. Ah, Sandy, their skins are so white. And me, I just got tired of hanging in them dusty arcades, banging them pleasure machines, chasing the factory girls underneath the boardwalk, where they all promise to unsnap her jeans. You know that tilt-a-whirl down on the South Beach drag? I got on it last night and my shirt got caught, and it kept me spinning. Didn't think I'd ever get off. That waitress I was seeing lost her desire for me. I spoke with her last night. She said she won't set herself on fire for me anymore. She worked that joint under the boardwalk. She was always a girl you saw bopping down the beach with the radio. The kids say last night she was dressed like a star in one of them cheap little seaside bars. And I saw her parked with lover boy out on the Kokomo. Did you hear the cops finally busted Madame Marie for telling fortunes better than they do? For me, this boardwalk life's through, babe. You oughta quit this scene too.